Thanks for listening in to the Calvary Podcast, coming to you from Miami, Florida. We're so glad you've joined us. We hope today's message will encourage you and remind you that God is with you and He's for you. Here's today's message.
Mark writes this in the Word of God, and they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once, his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. We're going to pause there in verse 28 today. Mark chapter 1, verse 28 is where we're going to stop. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus the deliverer. We've talked about Jesus the teacher. Who teaches like this? Jesus the healer. Who's this that can heal people? We talked about Jesus, the miracle worker, last week. Who's this that commands the winds and the waves, and even nature obeys him? Today, he commands an evil spirit to come out. Who is this that even unclean spirits listen to him? Anybody thankful that Jesus is a deliverer? Come on, Jesus is a deliverer. Today, if you're taking notes, I titled this message, "A Higher Authority." A higher authority. Why don't you high five four or five people around you and tell them there's a higher authority? There's a higher authority. Come on, smile at a few people, high five them. Some of us need to tell our face what our heart feels today. Come on, there's a higher authority. Jesus is King. Amen. Are you feeling good? We're going to pray. We're going to talk about Jesus, the ultimate, the higher, the best authority for about 25 minutes or so. And then why don't we worship one more time at the end before we go? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your good grace, your love. Thank you for each and every person that's in the building today, everyone watching online. Thank you for every service, the 8:30, the 10, the 12, the 1:30. Thank you for all that you've done already today in the morning service. We pray that today you may speak to our heart, God, that we may get a fresh revelation of who you are, Jesus, the highest authority. You're awesome. You are in control. You are God. You're sitting on the throne, and there is none like you. Thank you for loving people like us. There's nothing we could do to earn it or deserve it, but you've been good and kind to us. And so we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that all of Calvary Church says, amen. Come on, all of Calvary Church says, amen. Can you make some noise for Jesus one more time? Come on, Calvary. We're talking about Jesus as the ultimate authority, the highest authority. Because I think many times we know God as a loving God, but we don't associate authority with him. And I think there needs to be a proper understanding from the church at large around the world about what it means to have authority when we say God has authority. And when we don't comply or listen to his authority, how many know there's consequences when you defy authority? We're seeing now what it means to have consequences because we have a one-year-old at home. Our baby girl, Aria, is 1 year and 4 months, and lately she's been testing our authority. Several weeks ago, Diana made her some waffles in the morning, and Diana made her these awesome, healthy waffles, and Diana's trying to serve her breakfast. She sits her down. I'm watching. I'm there to assist in any way I can. Diana serves her these waffles, and Aria takes one bite, and all of a sudden she grabs the waffle and throws it on the floor. Anyone with kids, do all kids do this? It's our first time, we're learning. Diana, her authority was questioned in that moment. She's Colombian, and you don't test Colombians. I've tried. And Diana got so upset, and Diana's like, Aria, listen. I'm gonna give you one more waffle. Do not throw it on the floor. Anna comes with a second waffle, puts it on her little table. And Aria, I promise you, this is what Aria does. She grabs it and she looking, staring at Anna, goes like this. Time froze. I'm literally watching this in slow motion. She's staring at Anna, holding it, and Anna's like, no. And Aria just goes, doof, hits the floor. And I'm like, oh, you're gonna get it. It doesn't matter if you're a year old, you're gonna get it. Have you ever defied authority? Aria's learning there's consequences when you defy authority. I think all of us, in one sense or another, whether we know it or not, whether we're conscious of it or not, we defy God's authority all the time. And we have to be very, very careful, because if God is really God in our life, it must mean it has to play out in the way we live our life. When we don't, there's consequences, not because he's a bad God, but because he's a good dad and he wants freedom for our life. Several years ago, me and Dana, we went to Yellowstone National Park. If you've never been, you gotta go. It is absolutely gorgeous. And they have this kind of like boardwalk that you have to walk along some of these hot springs. And there was one that looked absolutely gorgeous, all types of colors. I mean, this thing is unreal to see God's hand, absolutely beautiful. I wanna get off the boardwalk and just take a quick picture. Dana's like, don't you get off the boardwalk. She's Colombian. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she's like, I saw on YouTube what happened one time when somebody got out of the boardwalk. This guy went to take a selfie, got off the boardwalk, went to take a selfie, fell off, and ended up in the thermal. And sadly passed away. All to say, boundaries are there to keep us safe. God puts boundaries in our life for a blessing, to take care of us and to keep us free, not to lock us down and depress us. If we see God as a father, then you know that there are boundaries in our life, because God desires a free life for you and I. And when we defy his authority, when we go against his authority, we say, God, I think I got a better handle on this situation. I'm going to follow my own authority. We end up enslaved. We end up in bondage. And we don't live out a full life, free life that God has for us, because we think that we got a better handle on life. I put it this way today. When obedience is optional, freedom is doubtful. If we're going to be optional with our obedience with God, God, I'm going to listen to you 90% of the time, but 10%, I think I got a better handle on that. I got more knowledge than you, God. We don't say that, but we act it out. 10 a.m., are you with me? We don't say that, but we act it out in our life. Like, God, I think I know how to handle this relationship better. I know how to handle my money better. I know how to deal with this better. So I'm thankful for your wisdom, but this is an old book. There's new technology now. I got a better handle on stuff. If obedience is optional, then we might end up not living a full, free life. How many know that there's wisdom in this book? There's power in this book. It is alive and it's full of life and life to the fullest. Come on, he came to bless us. Today, God's not asking for partial obedience. He's asking for full obedience. And when we're obedient to the fullest, I'm telling you, it's the best life we could ever ask for. Today, some of us, we walked into a place like this. We're sitting next to somebody or we're watching online, and some of us were enslaved. We're enslaved to some addictions, some bad habits. There's some of us in here that we're not enjoying the full free life that God created us to have. We don't have peace in our soul. I realize that in a room like this, and today in a full day, over 2,000 people walking in here, I know that there's people who are going through it. Today you're conflicted, you're enslaved. And you're serving God and you're wondering, why is it that this thing keeps happening in your life? Why are you still in bondage to this thing? I can't enjoy a free life. I can't move forward. I don't have full peace. I don't have all the joy. Can I tell you, this is what Passion Week is all about, that Jesus came to pay the ultimate price so that you and I can have a free life, free of sin, free from the power of sin. Come on, that there is no enemy, there is no devil that can hold us down. He came to heal, he came to save, he came to forgive. Today, I got good news for you. You can walk out of here different than how you came in, because there is a higher authority over all things. Come on, he is supreme. His name is Jesus. And so how do we live this free life? I put it this way today. A free life comes from a submitted will. A free life comes from a submitted will. I'm gonna say that one more time. I want all of us to understand today, a free life. If we wanna enjoy a life full of freedom, it comes from a will that is submitted to God. Saying, God, not my will, but your will. And when we submit to his will, we'll begin to walk in freedom. Mark is giving us this incredible story in his first chapter as he's writing this gospel. We get to Mark chapter 1. In fact, last week, we read out of Mark chapter 4. And we know that Mark is a very intentional writer. And in Mark chapter 1, he's doing the same thing. Mark is an incredible author. And immediately, we pick up on some details that he's giving us in his gospel. Mark, his sole intention, his purpose in writing this gospel is to convince and persuade his audience that was Jewish that Jesus was the Son of God, that he really was God. And so he's gonna use certain words and certain things. He does it on purpose so that all may know Jesus. He's not just a man, but he's the God man. And so he does certain things, and we gotta pick up on it as we're reading to really understand who Jesus is. As we're reading Mark chapter 1, the verses that we just read, there are two words that he uses twice. And the words are authority and immediately. Authority and immediately. He says these twice. Can you say it with me? Authority and immediately. Come on, one more time. Authority and immediately. Mark writes these words twice. He's given us details. In fact, every gospel has a way of looking at Jesus. The gospel of Mark looks at Jesus as servant. In other words, Mark wants us to know that Jesus is God, but not just any God. He's the God that comes to serve humanity. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Mark, he points out this in his gospel, that Jesus came to serve humanity. God serving humanity. Come on, that's beautiful. That's what's different from our religion compared to anything else. Every other religion, we got to work our way to this God. But in Christianity, God comes down to us to serve us, to heal us, to help. Come on, that's good news. Today, God comes to serve us. And he uses two words, authority and immediately. In other words, Jesus, he's not just any servant. He's a servant who has authority, and he's a servant who acts quickly. I don't know about you, but anytime you have a server that acts with authority and immediately, how many know that's good service? Have you ever tried asking something to a waiter and they're like, well, I don't have authority to make that decision. I can't replace the fries with rice or rice with fries. It's like, can you bring me somebody that can just make the change? I'm a fry fan. I'd rather fries than rice, right? How good is it when you talk to somebody, it's like, that's no problem. I'll take care. They have authority, right? And I'm not just gonna take a while to do this. I'm gonna do it immediately. In other words, Mark is telling us about the ability of Jesus and the activity of Jesus. He has the ability to speak into any situation with light, with power, with peace. There is nothing that Jesus can't speak into because he has all authority. So nothing is really out of his control. He has authority in every sphere of life. It's Jesus, the Son of God. He has the ability and he has the authority. Come on, this is a good God. And so Mark tells us that Jesus walks into this synagogue. A synagogue was a small building. This is in Capernaum. Those of us who went to Israel, we stood in this actual synagogue. It is still there today. It's in Capernaum. Many believe this is where Jesus lived for a while. In fact, many believe he lived with Peter. It says that after he gets out of the synagogue, he goes down to Peter's house. Peter's mom was sick. He healed Peter's mom and she got better and started serving them food. Many say this is why Jesus was betrayed by Peter, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. That's a different story. Corny Christian joke. That was terrible. I love my mother-in-law. Why did I share that? Okay, so Jesus, he enters this synagogue. The synagogue was not a temple. The synagogue was a small building where 10 or more men used to gather, and they used to literally share Old Testament scriptures. The Bible says immediately as Jesus goes in there, a demon begins to act out immediately. Now, this is absolutely interesting because even demons know who's the highest authority. It's immediately. It's not like the demon takes a second. It's not like, no, I'm not gonna listen to you. No, immediately. Why are you here to torment me? Immediately, he recognizes the higher authority. Okay, if we want to live a free life, I said a free life comes from a submitted will. What do we do? How does that play out? I got some application points that hopefully can help us today, but a free life comes from a submitted will. What we can pick up from Mark chapter 1 is that, number one, we need to concede to the one. What does that mean? Get out of the way. Say, God, I actually submit. I surrender all my ways to you. We need to concede. It's what the demon does in a moment. In a moment, the demon knows a higher authority is in the building. And so I'm out of here. Because the ultimate authority has stepped in. The Bible says, Mark says, as he's writing, that Jesus taught as one with authority. The scribes, the Pharisees, they're like, who is this that teaches this way? We've never heard somebody talking like this. Because they all used to get in there and they all used to share their knowledge and their wisdom, but they all basically had a footnote and they used to say where they got their knowledge from. Well, we got this from so-and-so rabbi and from this teacher. God is in the room. He doesn't need to quote anybody because he is the quote. So when Jesus is giving his wisdom, he doesn't have a footnote of where he read this from. He is the word. Come on. He was the word in the beginning. He is the word now. And he gives out of his knowledge. When we're dealing with Jesus, we're dealing with the highest authority. The most wisdom that you can ever hear comes from his mouth. And he doesn't just have authority. The word authority there in the Greek, when Mark is writing, it means out of substance. In other words, Jesus doesn't teach superficially. He's not a motivational speaker. Jesus' purpose in teaching is not so that you and I can put our headphones on in the morning and get ready to work out because I just got motivated. How many know motivation is good? Edification is better. I need a Savior not just to motivate me. I need him to give me a brand new life, brand new urges, brand new feelings, brand new mind, brand new heart, brand new soul. Come on, that's what Jesus does when he speaks with authority. Somebody shout authority. And so we can see, whoa, here's one with higher authority. What's happening in Mark chapter 1 is a confrontation of two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And there's a confrontation happening. Jesus steps into the building where the kingdom of darkness is, which, by the way, shows us even devils go to church. I'm not saying it's the person next to you. All I'm saying is they go to church as well. And the kingdom of God has walked in. And here's Jesus with the ultimate authority. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came with and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is not walking in as a weak Messiah. He's walking in as the King of Kings. The disciples don't know it yet. They're about to find out in a moment, but demons already know who's the highest authority. And so when he walks in, the kingdom of darkness has to step out. Oh, come on. I don't know if that's good news to you or not, but that's good news to me. Because whenever the kingdom of darkness wants to rob my peace, wants to rob my joy, wants to rob my praise, the kingdom of God steps in and every devil has to storm out. All of Satan, all of hell begins to tremble. Satan is scared when Jesus steps in. Today, it does not matter what darkness you're in. I got good news. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is advancing. Come on. The kingdom of God is taking the city of Miami. Is there anybody full of the kingdom of God that can praise the highest authority and say there is no other name but the name of Jesus. Woo! You start speaking that name, there's power in that name. This isn't any name. This isn't anybody. This isn't just a rabbi. This is the King of Kings. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, my parents always taught me that whenever you felt a dark presence or something happened, you used to call on the name of Jesus. And when you're young, you don't know it, but you try it. Yeah, I can't sleep tonight. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. As you get older, you start realizing there's power in a name. Something happens when you say a certain name, and when that name has spiritual authority to it, all of hell has to bow down. The demons know it. The demons concede immediately. The demons, in a second, are like, why is he here? Why is he here? Right? And they're out. There's a confrontation today all across the world in every sphere of our city, our neighborhoods, social media, TV. There's a confrontation of kingdoms happening. Today, we got to realize, what kingdom do we belong to? Are we really part of the kingdom of God, or are we part of the kingdom of darkness? There's only two kingdoms. There's not a third option. You either serve God or you serve Satan. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. And so today, some of us, we say we belong to the kingdom of God, but our actions are defying his authority. And so we might be serving the kingdom of darkness. The Bible calls disobedience rebellion. In fact, there's one Old Testament scripture that calls it witchcraft. It's quiet at 10 a.m. I know. Come on, we're just talking Bible. Come on, how many know? We're just talking Bible. This isn't popular preaching. This might not get a whole lot of likes on Instagram. It doesn't matter. Come on, this is Bible. You either belong to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. There is no other kingdom. And I'd rather serve God's kingdom with power, with light, with peace, with joy, with praise than any other kingdom. And Jesus, just his presence alone, demons recognize. Now, demons are real. Let's talk about demons for a second. Demons are absolutely real. They are fallen angels, right? They're fallen angels. Two terms that are used a lot in scripture to describe demons are the word demon or unclean spirits. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. This spirit is an unclean spirit. It's a confrontation between two spiritual worlds. So demons absolutely exist. Fallen angels who literally decided to go against God, and they literally serve Satan. They're real. And I think there's two different kinds of angles. You can either not believe that they're real, or I've also seen people get a very unhealthy obsession with demons. I grew up in church, and some of the churches I went to, it was like people just love seeing demons everywhere. And I don't know about you, but that's not a pretty sight, and that's not something I want to see. I'd rather see Jesus. I'd rather see light, angels. Demons, I'm okay. Literally been around people, it's like, don't move, Alex. There's a demon to the left. Is there an angel on the right? C.S. Lewis put it best. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So you just got to be careful. You either can fall in this camp that said, I don't believe demons are real. I don't believe in any of that. You'll find out quickly it's real. Or you can fall on this side that says, oh my God, demons are real. They're everywhere. And don't fall into that unhealthy obsession. I'd rather obsess about Jesus and demons. Come on, I'd rather talk about Jesus, pray to Jesus, praise Jesus. God's going to handle his demons. Like, he's just going to literally just cast them out and he'll handle the devils while we take care of God. And we just worship him and praise him, and he'll take care of that. Look what Mark says. Mark chapter 1, we just read this, verse 21. It says, and immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Immediately they know, they recognize. You want a free life? You got to recognize who the highest authority is. Number one, concede to him. Number two, comply to the fullest. Not only do we got to recognize, whew, Jesus, he's Lord, he's King of Kings. You just don't recognize or concede, you also comply. That's another word for obey. Look at Mark chapter 21, which we just read, beginning in verse 25. Jesus rebuked them, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. Isn't it interesting? The demon obeyed Jesus immediately. I read a commentary and I thought it was so true. Don't ever let a devil out obey you. Don't ever let a demon obey Jesus more than you obey Jesus. Like, the devil knows that when Jesus says something, he has to pay attention. The devil knows that as soon as Jesus gives a word, he can say, and, if, or, but, can I wait a minute? Can I? Immediately the devil was gone. Some of us, God's word tells us something and we rationalize with God. We take a moment like, God, are you sure? I don't know if I really could go there. I don't know if I really should be hanging out with these people. Are you sure? I'm going to convince them. I'm going to evangelize to so-and-so. She's cute. I know I'm just going to sleep with her and just convince her to serve. I don't know, but I want the obedience of a demon. That sounds weird. But the devil obeyed immediately. I want Jesus to tell me something, and I obey immediately. Yeah. Alex, but I told you not to. God, whatever you say, because what you say is good for my soul. That's right. And it's only going to bring freedom to my life. Some of us, I grew up in church, so I've walked in this kind of way where we just praise God with our lips, but we really don't walk it out. I've been there. grew up in church. I remember going to our youth group or our young adult ministry, and there were so many times in my life where I was a walking contradiction. Little by little, you start reading scripture and you're like, wait, if you really say you love God, it needs to play out in your life, in your actions, in your decisions. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, I love God. Really? Do you really love him? Because if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Those are confronting words from Jesus. I don't like this Jesus. Give me cute Jesus. It's confronting. Because he's a good father and all he wants is freedom for our life. And I'm glad that we get together on a Sunday. We come here early. We lift up a worship song. That's beautiful. But do we obey him? In fact, I would say God wants really more obedience than another song from him. 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He's saying, hey, what do you think God wants more, sacrifice or obedience? And then he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Wow. I want to please God. You know how we please God? By obeying him. God's like, I don't care like how loud you sing. That's great. I love it. I'm going to enjoy it. God inhabits the praises of his people. But if you want a free life, a life that God is pleased with, it's not how loud you sing. It's not how big the check is when the offering container comes. Like, it's been a bad week, so God, here you go, a big check. God's like, I own cattle in 1,000 hills. You can't impress me. I got all the gold. I got all the silver. What I want is a heart that is submitted, that complies and obeys and say, God, here I am. Take my life. It's yours. All my decisions, all my actions, I submit them to you, God. A free life comes from a submitted will. So many of us, we just love blaming everything on the devil because it's easier to blame the devil than it is to obey God. It's way easier to say, the devil keeps coming after me, man. The devil made me fall again. No, you're just not obeying Jesus. Yes, Jesus is teacher, healer, miracle worker, deliverer. And if you want to walk in deliverance, it's more than a prayer. Deliverance is a prayer and a practice. I grew up in church. And I've been there and I've seen so many people that are just like, I want God to deliver me from this situation, man. I'm going through this. And they just want somebody to lay hands on them. They fall back. And it's a big show. And it's like, don't give God a big show. Give God an obedient heart. I believe in the power of prayer, but it needs to go along with practice. We need to walk this thing out in our life. And I think it's time that we start talking about Jesus as Lord, not just Jesus as Savior. Because it's easy to say, Jesus, you're my Savior. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he resurrected on the third day, but that means he's also Lord. The word Lord literally means owner. You are now the owner of my life. That means you tell me what to do with my heart, my decisions, my actions, my body, my sexuality, my money, my marriage. You tell me everything. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He can't be Lord halfway. He's creator. He's the architect. He's almighty. He made me. Lord, you're Lord of all. And so in all my decisions, I take them to you. Because I want a free life. What I found out over the last 15, 20 years of almost being here in this church is that more people are really oppressed than possessed. Possession happens and demons can absolutely possess people like we see in Mark chapter 1. And I think that happens a lot, especially when people are in the occult. They don't know Jesus. They're far and they practice black magic, black arts. And you mess around with devils and the devil will get a hold of you. A higher authority comes, his name is Jesus, and he'll free you. But not everything is possession. Most things are possession, oppression. What that means is Christians, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, so you can't be possessed by a different spirit, but you can give way to be oppressed. Because in our actions, we keep on sinning. And when we do, demons are on alert, and they know this is the person we can start trying to pin down. You're saved, you're going to heaven, but your earthly life is one of enslavement. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil's after our soul. If he can't kill us, if he can't take us out, he wants us sitting on timeout, in bondage, strapped up, because we keep opening the door to the enemy in an area of our life. So we may not be possessed, but we're oppressed. And we've allowed fear now, anxiety. This is why some of us were so wrapped up in some of these things, because we keep on opening a door to the enemy in an area of our life. And I just think what we need is discipline to say no to certain things and yes to Jesus. And the more we say yes to Jesus, the more free you're going to walk. Yes, God can do it in a moment. I've seen people that God frees them in a second. But if you get delivered and you have no discipline, then the biggest enemy might be the enemy in me. God will deliver you. And I've seen so many people just keep going back to the same thing. There's a proverb that says, oh, like the dog that continues to go back to its vomit, we go back to our sin. It's a harsh verse, but it's so true. I remember talking to this one young guy one time, and we were in young adults for a long time, this young adult ministry. This guy had a problem with weed, and he couldn't stop smoking weed. And he's like, can you pray? I just need deliverance. Just lay hands on me. And I'm like, hey, look, we'll pray. But have you ever thought, stop hanging around certain friends? It's just like simple practice. Why don't we block some numbers today? Why don't we just say no to certain hangout? Like you add some discipline, you'll start walking in deliverance. Jesus will deliver you, but you got to say no to certain things. You go to the high priest, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, if any of you are weak, oh, go to the high priest and he gives you power. In other words, Jesus died and resurrected. What we're celebrating all next weekend, Friday and Sunday, we're celebrating because he freed us from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. In other words, sin is no longer the highest authority in our life. We used to be slaves to sin. We used to say yes to sin. But now that we said yes to Jesus, he's the highest authority. Come on. And if sin no longer has power over our mind, over our body, I go to the high priest. When I'm weak, I go to Jesus. When I don't feel like it, I go to Jesus. When my body's telling me different, I go to Jesus. Come on. He's giving us power over sin. We're not just free from the penalty. We're free from the power. Sin no longer has power over you and I. We just got to receive the power from the high priest. I heard somebody say this to me. The problem is we stop going to the high priest. We stop going to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to comply. And I want to obey more than a demon obeys. Mark chapter 1. What was a big eye opener for me is that devils obey really fast. I want to obey faster. Number one, we concede. God, you're the highest authority. I submit my life, my will, all of my actions to you. I recognize you're the highest authority. You're going to have the final word on all that I do. Some of us, we want a free life, but we don't take everything to Jesus. Take everything to him and you'll see he's a deliverer. Number two, I'm going to comply to the fullest. Not partial obedience, full obedience. He's not going to be Lord of some. He's going to be Lord of all my life. As I recognize, as I start to obey, I start walking in freedom. And these are daily habits we got to do. 10 a.m., are you with me? And then third and finally, we confess. We confess to the world who Jesus is. I'm not talking about an evangelist type of deal where you stand up, you know, on your social media and you scream to the world, Jesus is Lord. No, what I'm talking about is daily confession. Every single day you confess Jesus is Savior and Lord of my life to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. As you do that, you'll see freedom in your life. These are habits and disciplines we all need in our life. I want to walk in freedom. I want a free life. I go to the high priest. I go to Jesus. He's the highest authority. I concede, I comply, and then I confess him as Lord. Because what we say with our mouth matters. What we say, what we declare, what we proclaim matters. All I know is that there's some of us that all we keep doing is we keep talking about our problems, our issues. We keep talking about our cycles of dysfunction, our addictions. And all we're doing sometimes is giving more power to the enemy than we are to Jesus. And I'm telling you, something happens when you say the name of Jesus. something happens when you declare Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life and you speak it into the air. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the air, meaning right now he has semi-control over the atmosphere of earth. One day Jesus is coming back very soon to take away all power from him. When you begin to confess, you're letting the airs know around you. You're letting demonic forces know about you. That's the Son of God. That's the daughter of God. Jesus is Lord. He's my captain. He's my Savior. He's the one I obey. He's the one I concede to. He's the one I confess. Jesus is Lord. You got to speak it out. Something powerful happens when you speak it out. When you begin to declare Jesus is Lord. It's why we gather in here on a Sunday morning. And we all begin to lift up our hands and we all begin to sing praises. We're letting the devil and all of his demons know there's a group of people in South Florida that are moving forward with the kingdom of God. And we're saying you have no hold over our soul. Jesus, he's the highest authority. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's not just believing in your heart, it's confessing with your mouth. It's two. It's not just saying, I believe there's God, I believe Jesus, he died and resurrected. No, can you say it? Can you say it daily? Jesus saved us. Jesus is saving us. Jesus will save us. It's a daily walk with God. Jesus delivered us at salvation. Jesus is delivering us in sanctification. And Jesus will deliver us in glorification. It's a daily walk as we confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is Lord of my life. Paul writes that in the end times, which I believe we're living in now, there will be perilous times. That word perilous literally means demonic times. And I think it doesn't take a long time for you to turn on the TV or look around the world and know we're living in demonic times. And the kingdom of darkness is upset and literally trying to destroy the creation of God. And I think as we recognize that and realize that, we have to do our part of confessing Jesus as Lord. And when we do that, something powerful begins to happen. John, in the book of Revelation, he writes this in chapter 12, verse 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. John, what he's talking about there is end times, the tribulation times, which I believe we're living in now. I believe Jesus is coming back for his church. We believe in the second coming of Christ. Absolutely believe Jesus is coming back for his church, his bride, his people. And one day the sky is going to split. We're going to hear a trumpet. We're going to meet Jesus. And he's going to take over once again to rule and reign forever and ever. What started on Palm Sunday will be finished on that day as he comes as ultimate king. In the meantime, the times of tribulation, when the kingdom of darkness is trying to destroy creation, what do? We confess Jesus as Lord. And how do we overcome the world? By confessing to the world. By the blood of the Lamb, we've been forgiven. And by the word of our testimony, by what we confess, we overcome the enemy. You want a life of freedom? Start confessing Jesus as Lord. Every single day, you get up tomorrow morning, and I'm telling you, you just start confessing Jesus, your Lord of my life. Jesus, your Lord over my feelings, over my emotions, over my mind. Jesus, your Savior and your Lord. Your Lord and your Savior. Over my body, over my mind, over my will, over my emotions, because a free life comes from a submitted will. I think it's time for the church to really say, do you want a free life or not? Is he really Lord of all? Do we belong to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? Jesus, he's deliverer. Today he'll deliver you. And he'll continue to deliver you tomorrow, but you need to conceive, comply, and confess. And when you do, the kingdom of darkness has to go. In Jesus' name. I want us all to stand up. We're going to pray for a second. Father, we're about to leave, but I don't want to close service without giving an opportunity for somebody who doesn't know God. You haven't given your life to Jesus. He's not Savior or Lord of your life yet. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We've all sinned, done wrong, thought wrong, said wrong. And the Bible says that our sin separates us from this holy, awesome. He's so holy that demons shudder when he steps in. And you and I fall so short of his holiness in our sin. And we've all sinned, the Bible says. There's not one perfect person in this place. our sin separates us from God. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whosoever believes in him. Who is this? The Son of God. And if you believe in him, the Bible says you'll have life and life to the fullest. With every eye closed, every head bowed, so many of us in this room online, we've made a decision to give Jesus our life, to declare him as Savior and as Lord of our life. Today, do you know him? Have you given him your life, your soul? He created it. And all he desires is a relationship with you and to give you freedom, peace, hope, joy. The Bible says that sin brings destruction, but God comes to give life. Has sin been destroying you mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Sin comes to destroy. We see it all over the world. Jesus comes to give life. With every eye closed, every head bowed, Jesus died on a cross at Calvary is what we're talking about this Friday. 3 days later, he resurrected. The grave is empty is what we're talking about next Sunday. He's the author, the finisher of life. He's the firstborn of all creation. He's preeminent. He's God. And if you give him your life, today you'll have forgiveness, peace, hope, joy. Today, if you're in here, you're saying, Alex, I need forgiveness. Today, I want to repent. I want to declare Jesus as Savior and Lord of my life. I need forgiveness. I know I got sin in my life, and today I want to start brand new. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you, at the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're taking a step to say, hey, I'm confessing, and I'm believing today Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. You're taking a step of faith. If that's you, at the count of three, I want you to raise your hand high enough, long enough for me to see you. I'll see who I'm praying for, that you can put it right back down. Today you're saying, I need Jesus. I want him to be Lord and Savior. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand all over this place. Raise it up. Raise it up. All over. Amazing. 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 Raise it up. Raise it up. Raise it up. Hands everywhere. Awesome. 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 You can put your hands back down. Hands all over the auditorium. Come on. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. In fact, the whole church, Calvary, come on, let's say it together in one voice. As one big family, repeat after me. Say, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity. Today I admit that I'm a sinner and that my sin separates me from you. Come on, say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died for my sins, and on the third day, you resurrected. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From today on, I'm forgiven. Oh, come on. From today on, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, and I'm healed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, Calvary, there's a party in heaven right now. Come on, can you make some noise for every person? Hallelujah. Thank you. Hey, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, you just made the best decision of your whole life. Come on, it's the best decision. Today, I really believe Jesus became Savior and Lord of your life, and we want to give you a free gift. On the way out, you're going to see a bunch of people waving these white bags, and on the screen, you're going to see there's a bunch of gifts in there. The most important gift, there's a Bible in there. And if you got a Bible, like, yeah, my mom gave me a Bible. No, it's not as cool as this Bible. This Bible has a lot of notes on the side to help you understand what you're reading. It's really a free gift from us to you. It really is free 99, not $3.99, free 99. And we just want to come alongside of you, like we talked about, for practice to start happening. Get to know the Word of God. We love you. We're for you. Today is the best way to start Pastor Week with Jesus as Lord and Savior. Come on, can we give them a hand one more time? Pick it up on the way out. Calvary, I'll see you Friday night at Robert Morgan High School as we start Easter weekend, Resurrection weekend, Friday night, Good Friday. And then Sunday, we're talking about the blood of Jesus on Friday night. We're going to take communion together. Bring everybody you can. Come on, with hands lifted, why don't we sing this out one more time? Father, may your glory shine upon our face. May you go before us, behind us, and surround us this week. God, help us in opportunities to help people who may be enslaved and in bondage. That Jesus is the deliverer, that we may proclaim it and confess it. God, we thank you, we love you, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on.